Lene, would you mind opening in prayer for us?
Sure.
And speak up a little bit so this can pick you up. Thanks.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the chance that we have to gather once again this week and study your word, and not just study your word, but encourage one another, Lord, through fellowship and through our mutual love of Jesus Christ. I thank you for what he has done that brings us all together. And Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts to hear your word, and to not just be hearers, but doers of your word. And I pray you would give Alicia strength to bring what you have taught her to us ladies. And in Jesus' name, I pray these things.
Amen. Amen.
All right, thank you. So this year, we've been studying the providence of God, which is a very broad topic, isn't it? I mean, we've been studying it for 8 months, I think, and we could study for probably 8 years and still have plenty to study. So we have certainly by no means exhausted the topic. But does anybody remember, way back from September, how I defined the providence of God when we started? Those of you who are here, anybody remember? No.
He does.
I had to look it up myself.
Okay.
Yes, that is very close. It's not who he is, like he is sovereign, it's what he does. So God's providence is his work, it's his ways with his people. If you've been coming to Sunday school, however, you will have heard Pastor Will teaching that what somebody does reveals who they are as a person. And that is certainly true of the Lord. The Lord's actions reveal his character to us. God's providence, his work in time and space, so that covers everything that he has done, reveals his character to us. And that is why Jesus could say, I think, that all of Scripture speaks of him. He said in John 5:39 to the Pharisees, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." I have thought about that verse a lot throughout the years, and the place where I have the hardest time seeing that is in the historical sections of Scripture. I don't know about you guys. I mean, I'm glad that the historical sections are there, but sometimes I wonder, how does this teach me about Christ to learn the who, what, why, and when, right? The historical narratives, the stories of Genesis and Exodus and Numbers and the Chronicles and the Kings and all those books are not there just so that we have sort of the backstory for why we have the Ten Commandments or how we got the Psalms or what the prophets were speaking about when they gave their prophecies. It's to show us what God does with his people in order that we can know who he is. His works reveal his character. So that was the reason that I decided that I wanted to focus the study of the providence of God on the lives of different women in the Bible, because that would show us not only how God works in the lives of those women, but what that reveals about him, and then we could make application from that to our own lives. God's work in their lives teaches us about God himself, about how he relates to his people, and how he wants us to know him. So we started with Rebecca and Rachel, and we learned from their lives that God is sovereign over every aspect of our lives, including our sin. That is, he directs every step of our lives so that his sovereign will is accomplished. And that should comfort us, because we know that his sovereign will brings about what is good. Good for the whole world, but also good for each one of us personally. From Leah and Hannah, we learned that God is compassionate. God's providence brings affliction and suffering into our lives, and we accept that he's sovereign over those things, but sometimes it's harder, at least for me personally, it's harder to accept that he's also compassionate when he brings those things into our lives, that he hears our cries and he sees our distress, mm-hmm. and that in those moments he's ready to bless us with abundant blessing, just as he did with Leah and with Hannah. God's providence in the lives of Ruth and Naomi showed us that the Lord is gracious. He not only meets the needs of his people, but he delights in lavishing them with abundance. Grace upon grace, as the scripture says. He gives far beyond what we could ask or think, just as he did with both Ruth and Naomi. The life of Esther is like the epitome of providence, at least as we experience it today, right? The hidden work of God to accomplish his will rather than his divine intervention through miracles. But his providence in Esther's life not only shows us that his work can be hidden from us, but that he is merciful to those whom he loves. His willingness to act on our behalf is not dependent on our obedience. It's not dependent on the strength of our faith. It's dependent entirely upon his mercy, that he is a God who delights to save his people. His work in our lives as individuals, as a local church, as part of the universal church, can't be stopped. It can't be stopped by our enemies. It can't be stopped by our own disobedience, our own sin, our own weak faith. His mercy doesn't run out. We never exhaust his mercy. And he always acts to save us and to bring us into his glorious kingdom. From Elizabeth and Anna, we saw God's faithfulness revealed in his providence. His work in our lives shows that he keeps his promises to us. And he keeps his promises to his people by keeping his promises in the lives of individuals. We learned that the Lord's faithfulness to us is sometimes shown in surprising ways, in ways we don't expect and at times that we don't expect. But nevertheless, he is faithful to do all that he has promised for us. And finally, last month from the lives of Mary and Martha, we learned what I think is sometimes the hardest lesson of all for us to learn, that all of God's providences show him to be good, not in spite of our circumstances, but through those circumstances. Jesus allowed Mary and Martha to suffer through the death of their brother, but he brought that, sovereignly brought that into their lives so that they would learn exactly how good he is, that his goodness is far greater even than sin or death, and that our faith in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, should grow and is shown later in life through our obedience, our fellowship with him, and our worship of him. So it's a very brief, very fast overview of what I hope we've been learning this year. And this study for me was very encouraging personally as I went through it. And I hope it's been encouraging for those of you who've been coming as well, that your understanding of how God works and what that looks like in our lives, and also how his work reveals who he is, has grown throughout this study. But one of the things that has really struck me in this and that I've tried to convey, and I don't know how successful I've been, but I've tried to convey, is that it's not enough to just see and acknowledge God's work in our lives and to be privately grateful for it. We should do that for sure. But it was also important to publicly testify of what we see the Lord doing in our lives, to praise him publicly for it, and to encourage one another with that as well. We saw that with Leah. We saw that with Hannah, with Ruth and Naomi, with Elizabeth and Anna, and with Mary and Martha. Each one of those women, in different ways and ways appropriate to the circumstances that they were facing, praised the Lord publicly and testified of his goodness to them, of his faithfulness to them, his mercy, his grace, all those things that we've been studying. They testified of those things. And so I want to take the rest of our time together tonight for us to do that with one another and with anybody who may listen in and want to be encouraged as well. So I'm going to open it up for discussion. Don't feel, please, that you have to have some great story to share of what the Lord has done in your life. Because we saw, for example, the life of Rebecca. Right? What did she do? She got up one morning and she went to the well. It's what she did every day. And yet the Lord changed the course of history through that moment. She met the servant of Abraham and ended up in the line of the Messiah. So even the little things that happen to us, that the Lord works in our lives, are important. We may not see 100 years from now how those things may be important. But the Lord uses all of those things to bring about the blessing that he has for the whole world. And so I think that's an encouragement to each one of us not to feel like we have to have the world's greatest testimony or some great story of how the Lord has worked. Because in truth, all of the Lord's works are great. And he does all that he pleases in those things. So if anybody would like to start, please just feel free.
I'll start.
All right, go ahead.
So I'm hoping I can do this and remain calm. So I've been able, on a very sweet way, to see the Lord's providence through a traumatic experience. Because you all know I lost my husband. And it was fast and it was hard. But I never doubted him. And it was even during the toughest point where I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I can't handle this. I did reach out to him and pray. And then he allowed so many people that I hadn't even counted on to help me. My church family and others, where they just came alongside and protected me, loved me. And I am just really grateful to him for that. And he still has, you know, it goes up and down, mm-hmm. of course. But I think that stability, I mean, I'm not perfect, so I do fail. But I know in my heart that he is sovereign and that his way is right. And because of the study, I was able to reflect on that in a better way. So I didn't know that coming to this Bible study would actually help in that time, but I believe that it did.
Thank you. I think it's always easier to see his providence looking back, mm-hmm. and I can look a ways back, and Ryan and I met at a place where neither of us had been before, and we didn't think it was a big deal at the time, but after the Lord brought us, and then of course, as a lot of you know, he answered an ad in a paper and went to work for Jim Wearson. So that was the really big, I mean, first the two of us met, and then the Lord used, and then another lot of series of things. But we had no idea of all that was going on to bring us to the place, to the point where we knew we needed a Savior, and we knew we needed to be saved. And so I think, and just to look back at that, and then just different things along the way, too, to see how he has worked and what he does through circumstances that you would just, like you said, you just wouldn't expect that there would be that involvement there if you didn't even know enough to look for it, mm-hmm. at the time, mm-hmm. but to look back.
Well, I can say that when I came out to Portland, I thought I was coming here to take care of my grandchildren. I mean, that was my plan. And I think it was God's plan also, but I think he had more in mind than I did, because I'm here. And I never thought ever that I was not going to be a Seventh-day Adventist all my life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not that anymore. And that's all because of him. Mm-hmm. Even in this rainy city.
This is where the sunshine is.
You just have to look for it. Really hard.
It's in the people. It's the people.
I think probably one of the most obvious signs of his providence in my life has been through, the COVID pandemic, and just, I think a lot of us think of that. We wish that it didn't happen, and we wish that things were different. But for me, it really was what the Lord used to bring me closer to himself. I'd always had a good relationship with my parents, but I think I brought them kind of a lot of grief because I attended this church, but I wasn't really wanting to be a part of it. And when the pandemic happened, you know, I was just really bored, and so I tried a lot of different things. I tried to read, I tried to do, you know, video games and all these things that I thought sounded really fun because, you know, I had the time to do it. And so one Wednesday, I thought, well, I'll just click on this Zoom link, you know, and we'll just see what happens. Like, I'll just, you know, have a black screen and we'll just see what happens. And so I got put in Dr. John's class, and so, you know, the first week was great. I mean, I just kept coming back. Something the Lord said to just keep coming back. And so my dad and I would do, and Steve would do the lesson, and my mom was still alive at that time. And so then when you're studying the Word together, then you become closer, and that allowed me not to have regrets when my mom passed away, because we had already pulled closer. It was, you know, it was really a gift. And then I was able to, my sister also kind of reacted the same way during COVID. She started reading the Word. We did the Trinity plan together. So then when my mom did pass away, she was in a good place as well. And we were able to minister to each other. And so I'm very fond of that pandemic. You know, I'm really grateful for it because I didn't finish my video game, but, you know, I got something. It was such a gift that was really merciful. He didn't use some other trauma to get. It was very gentle to me. Yeah. So.
Well, I was working for this couple, and I really enjoyed my job. And then the two of them announced that they were getting a divorce. And so I was taking care of their finances, so I kind of got put in the middle between this couple. Mm-hmm. They were each wanting to kind of hide things from the other, and so it was getting pretty uncomfortable. So I was praying about it, what to do about it. And my husband and I were out to dinner we were out to dinner for our 25th anniversary. And suddenly, I lost the sight in my left, in my right eye. It just went dark. And anyway, my husband was able to get me into a retina specialist, and he did immediate laser surgery, and it is healing. But the choice of what to do about the job was suddenly taken out of my hands. And I had to quit because I couldn't see anymore. I couldn't drive. So the Lord's been moved in my life in just incredible ways. I agree with Jody. It's like, you know, it's like when you look in the rearview mirror and you see how He's moved. Sometimes in just ways to me that were just unbelievable. When my mother passed away in 2010, somebody walked past my desk in the office and went to the HR person who was behind me and asked about their vacation time. And so I got this idea. I wonder if I should go ask how much vacation time I have. I didn't think I have any. And they said, well, you've got 2 weeks vacation time that you have to use immediately or you're going to lose it because it would roll over to the next year. And so I didn't know what to do. But my boss said, well, I'll give you a week off and I'll give you an extra week of pay. So I had like 2 weeks of pay and a week off. So I decided to go see my mother, and I arranged for a motel and a really nice brand new one that was by her house. And I had made all these plans, and just when I was getting ready to leave, I got a phone call that she passed away. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was thinking, how terrible that was. But what happened was that it allowed me to have the time off to drive there. I already had the motel arranged. And I found out when I got there that I was in charge of the funeral.
Whoa.
And I found a Bible in her room, which was unusual because my parents are Mormon. And in this, it was a New Testament, and I was flipping through it, and because I was supposed to give the eulogy. And John 14 was highlighted. And so, and I had no idea that that's what a lot of funerals use, is John 14. And so I stayed up all night praying. And the next day when we had the funeral, I got up and there was no tears and I felt totally calm. And I was able to read that scripture, practically quote it by heart because I'd been reading it all night. And yeah, and when I look back, when I realized that God knew that was going to happen. And so he had already gone ahead of me. Thank you. And had prepared the way. So I had time off and the money and had everything arranged. But anyway, so now with my eye, you know, I always expect him to answer my prayers, but they're never in the way that I assume they're going to be. Always something so much greater than I could have imagined. And so I don't know what's going to happen now, but I realize I have absolutely no control. He took everything away from me. And I just feel completely calm now, but waiting to see, because I have this, just this sense that he has something planned for me, but I don't know what it is yet. So that's what I'm waiting for.
I always appreciate God's providence in bringing us into a greater understanding of the gospel and how that sanctifies us. I don't know how many of you know this. You probably could have guessed. I'm an oldest daughter. And have my entire life been very, very, very performance-oriented. Like, going to do the right thing, and everybody's going to know that I do the right thing. I'm going to be that girl. Right? That doesn't really work in Christianity. And I remember when I was taking classes for biblical counseling, and I got to the point where it was like, we know all the right things that we're supposed to do, but how do we get people to do them? Like, I know all the right things to do, and I know that I don't do them all the time. And about the same time, I don't even remember how or why it came up. I remember coming across the verse in Nehemiah 8, I believe. I could be wrong. Nehemiah 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I always wondered, like, what does that even mean? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, that summer, I had to take a class called the Gospel-Centered Counseling. And that just totally, totally rocked my world. The idea that no matter what I do, I'm not going to make God happier with me. And that no matter what I do, I'm not going to make God angry in me. Because I'm in Christ. And he is totally pleased with Christ. So it was, that was just so freeing to know that there's not something that I have to live up to. And I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And that's still a learning process for me to rest in the gospel of Christ. But God has been so faithful over these last, I don't know, 10 years, whatever it's been, to be continuing to teach me that, to show me that in his word, to give me opportunities to study that and share that with you guys in the church through the Bible studies that I've been doing, in the messages that we hear from the pulpit. Everything that the Lord does to help us grow in our faith, in our practice, in our obedience, is just wonderful to see. And to know that it's not dependent on me. Am I asked to obey? Yes, absolutely. But my ability to obey and my faithfulness in obeying does not alter how God views me. And that is a wonderful, wonderful comfort and encouragement to continue on and press on in the faith even when I fail.
I think one area for me that I've seen is just, I guess I would sum it up in my daily bread, you know, just a day at a time. There will be days that I, for no reason other than my flesh and my sin, that I just don't want to go to work, you know, or I just don't want to, you know, and I nanny, I work with a one-year-old little boy and he's the sweetheart, but I just don't feel like it today. And there have been more times than I can count that I've just been driving to work and I just ask him for his grace for the day and he delivers every time. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much joy to be found, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's like just changing a poopy diaper, you know? But it's a good work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good work. Mm-hmm. And being able, like, driving home at the end of the day and being like, you were totally with me the whole time. Like, mm-hmm. you know, even some days, you know, the baby will sleep a little longer. You know, the baby naps a little longer. That's just great. Mm-hmm. On days when, you know, I am weak and... So it's just been really, it's just wonderful to see that he cares about the little things, but they're not little things, mm-hmm. you know. So that's the thing, what came to mind for me when you mentioned how we see his grace, his provision.
Mm-hmm. I think the Lord has been showing me his providence and how he plans out my life. And it's differently than I would choose.
Mm-hmm.
And where I am, I wouldn't have expected to be at 28. I had different ideas. But 6 years ago, he had me begin taking care of these two little kids and having an impact for the gospel in their lives. And at moments when, or days when I doubted, why am I here instead of where I would have planned for myself, I would go to work and have a conversation with the kids. And they would ask me questions that would just confirm, okay, this is why you have me, where you have me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I would quote Lamentations 3:21-22 to myself, where it talks about his mercies being new every morning, mm-hmm. and great is his faithfulness, because mm-hmm. his plan is so much greater than what I would plan for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest area that I've seen God's providence in my life has been when I graduated high school. I had my life all planned out. I wanted to go to college. I wanted to get my nursing degree. I wanted to work with children. I wanted to work at, you know, either Randall's or Dornbecker's and be able to have that influence in children's lives. But God had different plans for me than what I would have ever decided. You know, I started college, got partway through my pre-nursing, and then just the Lord put obstacles in my way that made it very obvious that He doesn't want me to go any further. And I was just kind of this roller coaster of emotions because, you know, I was like, I don't know what the Lord has for me. But then he brought me to a small Christian school where I was taken in as kind of a student teacher. And I worked there for the last 6 months of the 2021 school year. And, where he allowed me to be able to grow and just have experiences that I never would have had working with children and being put in a teacher role, a very stressful position where I'm taking on a lot of responsibilities and, you know, working 14, 16-hour days, and, you know, it was very high demands. And I was, you know, planning to go back as a teacher, but again, the Lord made it very clear that He did not want me to go back, and I, again, once more, I was in the position of, where do I go? And then the Lord has brought me now to a supposedly, you know, quote-unquote Christian school in Vancouver. It's 30 minutes away from me, and where He has allowed me to be able to have an impact on the lives of those kids, on the lives of the, you know, children there, where, you know, a lot of the kids, even some of the staff members, are not saved, and yet I've been able to just share the gospel and do that. And the verse that He has constantly been bringing to my mind is Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you," you know, not plans to prosper you, not to destroy you. I think it's destroy you, or whatever. Okay. Anyway, it's just been very, that verse has been very encouraging in my life.
I was 10. My family, well, I guess I was 9, we were living in Oregon, and I loved it so much because I had so many friends, I had so many things I could do, and I was really happy. And then something happened with my dad's job, where the next project coming up in the studio he worked in, he wasn't comfortable working on because it had some things to do with, like, demonic stuff, and he just wasn't going to work on that. It was kind of non-negotiable. So he decided he quit. And it was really bad, like, emotionally for our whole family, I think, because this is where we were the most happiest, and there was more Christians and everything. And so my dad got a job in France, and I was very selfish those first 6 months. We were there for about a year, and I just was angry. Because I didn't want to be there, and I couldn't speak to anyone, really. I was quite depressed. And then God saved me, I think, there. Sorry. It just brought a new light into my life. It just made me realize how lucky I really was. And it just made everything else easier. Just realizing that if I had Christ, I didn't need anything else. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm. That's enough. That is... It's always the hardest lesson to learn, and so I think we have to learn it more than once, unfortunately. But that's, you know, that's why the Lord brings us through those trials. And sometimes they're really big, like having to move to another country or losing the sight of your eye. You know, my sister, I'm going to tell her story. She married a man who was...
Tiffany?
No. Oh. My sister Rochelle, she married an Indian, an Asian Indian. And for the first 3 months of their marriage, he was in the hospital in India, where she couldn't speak the language. She couldn't go out by herself. She was literally stuck in her house all day by herself. She couldn't even communicate with her in-laws, you know. But going through an experience like that taught her a lot about relying on the Lord. And later on, when, you know, she had other difficulties in her life, she was able to remember that God had been faithful to her before, and that He continued to be faithful to her. So, you know, for all of us, it's a growing process. And, you know, sometimes it's something silly, like when I drove across the country and I lost my cat in Idaho. Oh, guys.
I remember. We were kept informed of your progress yes. as you came across.
I was in a panic. I love that cat. And she was missing for 3 hours. I have no idea where she was. And then I had the door to the hotel room propped open. And I happened to look up, and she was just sitting in the doorway, facing out. I don't know where she came from. She wasn't in the room. You know? So, I was like, ah. You know, so even in something like that, traveling across the country to, you know, all by myself, the Lord is faithful. And He cares about the things that matter to us. And then I got here, and I remember the very first Sunday that I was here, Pastor Dwight told me that he'd been praying for me. And at the time, I was like, oh, that's so sweet. That's wonderful. And I found out much later that he hates cats. So that made it even sweeter. it's the Lord's providence in our lives is very small and very large and everything in between. And in every instance, it teaches us something about who He is. If we have the eyes to see it, if we're looking for it, so I hope that this study would encourage you to do that, to remember that He is at work in everything that happens to you, that He is directing every step of your life for your good and for His glory, and those two things are very closely bound together in His mind, that our good brings Him glory. And so we have to glorify Him when we see that. So thank you, each one of you who shared, for helping us do that together as a group to glorify Him in the ways that He's been working in each one of our lives. So thank you. I'll go ahead and close in prayer. And then Geneva said she's willing to make more drinks if anybody wants one or another one. And Susan, I believe, brought some goodies for us to eat as well. So, all right, I'll go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are, for the fact that you are love, that you are gracious, that you are merciful, that you are good and good to your people, that you sovereignly direct all things in order to accomplish your purpose, and that your purpose includes blessing us. And sometimes that blessing comes in ways that we don't understand and in the moment may not even appreciate, Lord, but we know that you are faithful to us, that you will bring us through, that you will direct every moment of our lives in order to increase our faith in you and increase our love for you. I just ask that as we go away from here tonight, that we would continue to look for the ways that you are working in our lives, that we would be open to learning what your ways in our lives teach us about who you are, and that we would be faithful in sharing that with one another so that we can be reminded for ourselves, that we can remind one another of all the wonderful things that you do for us, because that is who you are. And we just thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.